And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, and welcome to The Political Show right here on Expert FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix, and with me in studio we have...
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
Hot politics. And this week's hot politics, we are talking about something that is very, very interesting. Pastor Gav sent me a link to a very interesting channel where the guy was speaking about why has the crime in South Africa risen to the levels that it has risen to? Is it because of poverty? Because that's what most people are speaking about. They're saying that because of the increase in poverty in the nation, there will be an increase in crime. But he actually gives us from a different perspective, which makes a lot of sense. Pascal, do you want to give more brief explanation?
The name of the guy on this channel is Bonzai Shongwe. And he's a guy that I came across some time ago. And then what I found out is he's sort of, he's like us, except he's on his own.
Yeah.
And he has his pictures behind him of the article or whatever that he's showing. And he talks about the politics in South Africa, but he has quite a unique, he has quite a unique angle that he takes it from. In that, first of all, he speaks about the news, then he speaks about it in relation to the ideologies of the likes of Karl Marx, and then he speaks from the Bible. So there's not much. Normally when I listen to these podcasts, if I agree with about 50 or 60% of what the guys are saying, they're doing well. This guy, there's only one thing, so I'll mention it later in the show, that I've heard him say that I disagree with. Out of a number of his shows. So he made a video on obviously the whole thing with crime, and I don't know, should I mention? Yeah, I think we should call this the name of the show. So we'll tell our production team over here that the name of the show should be, in quotes, Marxism causes crime.
Marxism causes crime. That is what we're going to be speaking about. It's going to be hot as always. Right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is.
Hot politics.
Hot politics.
Active FM, the Netflix of radio. But better.
We help distributors grow their sales by over 15% in the first 90 days with our automated mobile software solution. RapidTrade is used by over 16,000 users worldwide, and we process over 120,000 transactions per day on both iOS and Android. From app ordering and management to e-commerce and even van sales, or electronic proof of delivery, we've got your business covered. Call us for a demo on 011-493-9755 or email us at sales@rapidtrade.com. Go on, make your customer a happy one today by getting onto RapidTrade.
So we are speaking about why is it that the crime rates in South Africa have begun to increase. Is it because of poverty, which most of us think, most people think in terms of South Africa and stuff, saying because the economy is going down, does that mean that crime is going up and things like that? Or is it because of Marxism? That is a very different approach to looking at the situation, a very different thought process as well. But does it make sense to look at the effects of Marxism in different countries and basically compare it to the crime rate? And all of this was through a video that we watched on YouTube by Bonsai Shongwe, who basically spoke about the crime and looking at Marxism and why he thinks Marxism is the crime is the result of Marxism, increased crime is the result of Marxism. And this topic came into being because of a robbery that he had witnessed. Now, personally for me, the robberies that I have witnessed, because if you live in South Africa, I'm sure you've witnessed a robbery somewhere or somehow.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But you literally people walking on in the streets with their phones and a random car will stop by and grab the a person from a car will grab a phone and get into the car and drive away. There's just been a whole lot that I've witnessed. But the specific one was where a woman was in her car and on the phone, and a guy came, grabbed her phone, got into a car, tried to get away. She stopped him. He came out to apologize for taking the phone and...
apologize.
Yes, apologize.
Apologize.
For taking the phone.
In quotes.
And when he was about to give back the phone, he went, got in as well, and then snatched her car keys and her wallets. So he had ended up taking the phone, car keys, and wallets and stuff. She did try and fight back. I don't know how cars work, but because she kept her engine running, she was able to...
Well, it was a new... It's like a Merc. I think she was driving a Mercedes-Benz.
An Audi. It was an Audi. Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously it's got one of those special keys where you press the start thing.
Oh, okay.
And then if it's going...
Makes sense. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. But yeah.
Because you can't steal my keys. I got those old fashioned ones. In fact, for those of you watching on YouTube. Right. If you take this one out, the car goes off.
The car stops. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Anyway, so she was able to get to, she tried fighting them off, but they got away. And she was able to get to the police station where he was as well, because he caught everything on camera. And when she got to the police station, the police were very dismissive and they were even questioning her behavior in terms of how what she did and the fact that she was on her phone with her windows rolled down, how she contributed to the fact that she got robbed. And before we move on to what else he spoke about in the video, what are your thoughts on that?
That's actually quite typical. I remember in 2015, our church bus was hijacked. With our youth pastor at the time and another leader in the church. You know, they were hijacked with the vehicle. And it was just after they dropped off the last group of people from the trip.
Mm.
And I remember going to the police station in the area, you know, the one that, that you're supposed to go through because it's the one that the area falls under that where the hijacking took place. And, I mean... I'm saying they've been hijacked at gunpoint, all right? Their lives are at risk. The vehicle's been taken now in the last 20 minutes.
Mm.
And they just sat there and stared at me. So when he described the reaction to this lady, it's exactly the same. And then obviously this whole thing where you start criticizing the victim, you know? I've seen that a lot. And you question the victim. So that is something that's for me is quite prevalent in South Africa today. I don't know about your perspective.
Yeah, no, it really is. What's this? I've heard of so many stories and know people who have tried to report petty crimes, other crimes. In fact, someone in my ministry where she had called me in the middle of the night to say that, listen, a family member is going crazy. He was high on some weird drugs and was trying to hurt herself and people in the house and things like that. We called the cops. I stayed on the call with her until the cops arrived and stuff. They had then taken him in, but the next morning he was out again and stuff. And when they went to go question, ask what's going on,
that's the accused.
Yeah.
That released the accused.
Yes.
And... that accused could not have been to court.
No.
Because just to explain, if you're not in South Africa, if you get arrested for something like that, all right, you stay and the police have to take you to the court.
Mm.
And the court then will make a decision. And if they're going to grant you bail, they'll say, we grant you bail for X amount. So then you must pay bail. You can't just leave the court. or leave the police station. The police legally are not allowed to let you go. So the fact that the person wasn't there is actually a crime.
Yeah. So the person was then released, and when they went to go ask what's going on, they were very dismissive with the whole case and things like that. So yeah, it's nothing that is shocking. It's just a but sad reality.
What South Africans should start doing,
yeah,
is start asking the cops, how much did he pay you?
Mm.
Because this person's supposed to have appeared in court.
True.
So you guys are all criminals, that you've actually released this person.
No, that's very true. That's very
and then
true.
You're probably going to be arrested yourself, and they're going to say they found 3,000 kilograms of cocaine on you or something.
It's crazy. Things like that happen. So he then went on to speak about this, about South Africa's crime crisis. And one of the things that he said is that South Africa is described as the crime capital of the world.
Well,
which is quite hectic.
Yeah, he actually showed this map. I don't know if you saw the map.
Yes, I saw the map.
Okay, so just to describe it for you. So it's a map of the world. And it's got different, countries on it. And obviously that includes, sort of South Africa. And when you look at the map, then what you find is that it's got different sort of color gradients. So what happens is if a country has low crime, then what happens is that it's sort of like a gray color. And if the company has some crime, the country rather has some crime, then it's like a greeny color. And then it gets to a darker green, and then a turquoise, then it gets to a light blue. And the dark blue places are where the crime's at its highest.
Mm.
Now, places like Namibia are light blue, or not, they're sort of, Namibia is sort of a lightish blue. Angola is a sort of a darkish blue. Mozambique, which has got a war going on. Okay, so there's a war going on in Mozambique.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a serious Islamic insurgency in the north of the country. That's like a light blue. The place where your ancestors come from, the DRC, there's like no crime there according to this. Although
it's talking about murders. Well, but...
Yeah, but I mean, for DRC...
Just we're just going to be quiet and look to the side.
Yeah, just some of the things I've heard. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
So I think DRC, maybe there's a problem because maybe the murders aren't being reported.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, first of all, the whole of South America is going somewhere between turquoise and dark blue. Now, the worst place in South America is Venezuela.
Yeah.
South Africa is the darkest blue from what I can see. It's even darker blue than Somalia.
Which is crazy.
Which is really crazy.
But it's probably also the case where not all the murders are being reported.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
The Gaza Strip, I think, is a similar color to South Africa.
Yeah.
Okay. And then parts of Indonesia. Or is it Papua? No, it's Papua New Guinea. Mm. Also dark blue. Now, the more Marxist the country is, the darker the blue.
That's the crazy thing.
So, South Africa, I mean, the ANC government is Marxist. One of the opposition parties, Mkhonto Sizwe, MK, that's Marxist.
Mm.
The EFF, Economic Freedom Fighters, are Marxist. Those three parties together have about 62% of the representation in parliament.
Mm.
So we're Marxist. I think Afghanistan was under Marxism for a while.
Mm.
Okay, but the Marxist places are the places with the highest crime rate very often.
Yeah. So he speaks about that, and he says he basically dismisses the whole common Marxist argument that the higher the poverty within a country, the higher the crime will be. But then he pointed to a place like Zimbabwe. If you look at that same map, where there is higher poverty in Zimbabwe than there is in South Africa.
It's massively there's a hugely greater number of poor people.
Yeah. And however, it's got a way lower crime rate than South Africa. And if you look at the crime rates and stuff, in the 2023-2024 year, South Africa recorded, and this is just the recorded crimes. And stuff.
Well, I think the murders, we probably get most of them.
Well, speaking of murders, when I speak
we probably
crime,
get most of, if you're talking crime, like robberies, even armed robberies and things like that, I don't think 50% of them are reported. Even rapes, I think less than 50% of the rapes In fact, I think less than 20% of the rapes are reported.
Yeah. But when we look at how many murders were recorded between 2023 and 2024...
With murders, you've got a body.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine in South Africa, 90% plus of the murders are recorded.
Yeah, definitely.
But they reported at the police. There's at least a docket.
At least, we hope.
Well, sometimes the docket disappears, but anyway...
Yeah, so 27,000 murders were recorded in that year.
2023-2024. That's yes. March 23 until end of Feb 24.
Feb 2024.
How many?
27,000 murders.
Okay, so if you divide that in by 12 months, you're talking well over 1,000 murders a month.
Well over 2,000 murders a month.
No, you're right. It's over, because 24,000 would be 2,000 a month.
Yeah. 2,250 murders a month.
Then divide that by 30.
That would be 75 murders a day.
Okay, so in South Africa, 75 people get murdered every day.
And this is not people dying of natural causes.
No, no, this is murder.
Sickness. This is murder.
A stabbing, a poisoning, a shooting,
and
a strangling.
If you look at where we are in
someone
the south of Johannesburg and things, you always hear stories. And
well, how many bodies have you seen?
Who?
I mean, is there anyone here that hasn't seen a body in the streets? So if you're not in South Africa, if you're not in Johannesburg, then you won't understand. We've all seen dead bodies lying in the street.
True.
Sometimes by stabbing, sometimes by shooting, sometimes they've been knocked over by a car.
Yeah.
But you know, you probably see a couple of bodies every 6 months.
Yeah. So. Is it poverty? Because if that was the case, if it was poverty, then Zimbabwe would have had higher,
they would have had 85
murder rates than we do. So
they would have had 85 a day.
The real issue that he argues is that it's the governance and ideology of the country and not the poverty that is found within the country. And he refers to historical data showing crime rates peaking around 1994, he actually shows a graph.
Well, we were at war.
Yeah.
Let's just put it in perspective. Basically, yes. South Africa was in...
very close to civil war.
No, we were pretty much in a civil war.
Yeah, okay. Well, it wasn't classified as civil war.
No, it was a war.
But it was. For those that were here, I wasn't there. I wasn't alive.
Yeah, no. But trust me, there was a war going
on. For those that were alive in those and could understand, it was definitely civil war. But he does show a graph, and he shows that the highest crime rates or murder rates that South Africa had was in 1994, and it's understandably so. I mean, there was the whole apartheid thing.
Most of those murders
leading up to 1994
were between the ANC and other black parties.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Okay, so in particular the IFP.
That's very crazy.
So most of the people who were murdered then was black parties trying to get dominance before the first truly democratic elections.
That's very interesting.
There's actually a book that was written, and I'm not going to comment on whether it's true or not. I just can't remember the title, that likened, they actually claimed that the ANC went to meet with the Viet Cong. Because apparently in Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
you know, when the whole thing started there, the Viet Cong were not the primary resistance group. What happened was that they then started attacking all of their opponents amongst the resistance groups to gain dominance. That's so if a village supported another resistance group, they'd go and wipe it out. And, you know, we went through the scourge of necklacings in the 1980s, perpetrated by the ANC, and it was mainly against black people. They killed so many people, and the necklacing basically is you take a tire from a car, you know, and you put it over the person so that their arms are stuck against their bodies, you douse them with fuel, and you set them on fire.
Yeah.
It's a gruesome death, and, you know, many people died that way at the hands of the ANC. And obviously, Inkatha, the Inkatha Freedom Party at that stage of Mangosuthu Buthelezi, they fought back. So, even in KwaZulu-Natal, there was a huge war that was going on between the ANC and the IFP.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to speak about how it started to decrease during Nelson Mandela and Thabo Mbeki's tenures. He describes, a lot of people describe Nelson Mandela as pushing forgiveness, and despite some comrade rhetoric. Basically, he was speaking about the fact that Nelson Mandela did not speak or make certain decisions as a comrade. And then the same with Thabo Mbeki.
Well, that was Because what do Marxists do? They kill their opponents when they come into power.
Yeah.
And Mandela didn't preach that.
No, he didn't. And then they also speak about Thabo Mbeki, who's
praised for being... That's why your comrades, like Julius Malema, they claim that Nelson Mandela was a sellout. And that Thabo Mbeki was a sellout. Because they did not advocate wiping out
those who
instituted apartheid and the white people in general.
Yeah. And Thabo Mbeki is praised for being business friendly and reasonable, even if he was seen, like you mentioned, as a sellout. And then under Jacob Zuma, well,
can I tell you something interesting? There was a journalist, he's not alive anymore, named Alistair Sparks. And he wrote a book where he actually spelled out, because I never truly fully understood when Jacob Zuma took over the ANC and got rid of Thabo Mbeki. I never fully understood what that battle was all about. And I remember the guys in the media used to say that it's the left-wing guys that were supporting Jacob Zuma of the ANC. So I never understood why they were saying that. And then what happened was that in this book, Alistair Sparks actually said that Thabo Mbeki wanted to go, you know, to all of the rural communities where black people actually have their land that they consider their own. So like Xhosa people come from the Eastern Cape, they've got a home there. Zulu people come from KwaZulu-Natal, they've got a home there. You know, your Pedi people come from there around Polokwane, they've got a home there. And Thabo Mbeki actually wanted to give them their title deeds. Now that flies in the face of Marxism. And that's why there was an uprising with the Saving Communist Party, which, you know, the COSATU, all of their affiliates and the ANC Youth League, all got together to conspire against Thabo Mbeki to get Jacob Zuma, you know, in place as the ANC leader.
Yeah, so under Jacob Zuma and Cyril Maposa, crime then began to rise. The next drop that you actually see in the...
That was fantastic. Not even fantastic, it's terrible. that's totally the wrong word. I did not mean it's fantastic. But
that was hectic.
I was actually quite shocked because I never realized that. How crime began to, immediately when Jacob Zuma came into power, crime began to increase.
That was a very interesting insight that I also saw. And then you see the decrease or the dip in crime in 2020. Obviously, he mentions it was the whole thing with the lockdown that happened. People were not going out and things like that. So he mentions that. But then we see when the lockdowns are eased and whatever, the crime begins to increase again. So how does Marxism come into the whole thing?
Well, he actually explained something, and the funny thing is he actually related to the progressives in America. Because if you look at cities where progressives rule, they're actually underpinned by the exact same philosophy, the Marxist philosophy, as your African National Congress, your Saving Communist Party, Mkhonto Sizwe, EFF, yeah, in South Africa. And so those are the cities that have the highest murder rates too in the United States. So very similar picture. And one of the things he speaks about, and he goes to, for example, Karl Marx, and then some of the other leading lights, you know, in the whole Marxism movement, is that Karl Marx came in and he created a battle between the workers and the bourgeoisie. And he said it's because of the capitalists that everything's going bad.
And the crazy thing is, Karl Marx himself would be classified as a bourgeoisie.
And he's Jewish.
Yes.
So you got all these black South Africans talking about colonialists, but meantime they support the German white Jew.
Yes.
And the philosophies that came from him. And then there's another guy, Malthus, and he came along and said, okay, Karl Marx hasn't worked because the people are starving to death in the Soviet Union, people are starving to death in China, so let's make it a black-white issue. So the whites are oppressing the blacks. And then another guy came along and said, okay, that one's not working now, so let's make it about LGBT and all of these other things. And so what happens is you create this very angry society. And when you've got such an angry society, then they become violent. And the next thing you have a very hard murder. Now, obviously, this is his thesis.
Yeah.
I think it's very accurate.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, guys. I'm entitled to my opinion. Right. Listen, please don't say anything. Eh? I'm entitled to my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, because he explains the whole thing. When you look at black consciousness, it's the same thing with...
you're dividing on race.
you're dividing why on must that. You when
be,
you look on
why must you be conscious of the color of your skin?
Serious question. The next, he looks at feminism, which is also the same thing, patriarchy against...
Yeah, that's the whole LGBT
and all of these things. I've personally, rights. As a woman, who identifies as a woman, what's this? I've never understood feminism. I've never understood the whole point of feminism and stuff. And I think we've spoken about it time and time again, how the push for women... which is, we do understand that time changes. So please do hear what I'm saying and don't hear what I'm not saying. Women who are working and things like that, I really stand for those women and things like that. But we've seen how the deterioration of the family has started, especially when this push for a working class woman has come into being and all of these things through feminism and stuff. So... there's that. Then there's the LGBT. I mean, 2022, LGBTQ plus community was just being pushed everywhere. And we saw how the deterioration of the schools happened, this whole thing with kids being confused and all of this stuff. And there's so many things. The whole Black Lives Matter thing that didn't last long. And then they start try to push it through with the LGBTQ and whatever. But even all of that, they all have the same ideology, which comes out of the Marxism ideology.
Yeah, and that includes the whole climate change thing.
Yes.
And they talk about climate justice and then land reform, land justice.
Yes.
All of these social justice, all of these concepts are actually Marxist concepts.
Mm.
Now, please understand... you know, we come from a church whereby we promote women preachers, okay? Mm-hmm. So we don't subscribe to that thing that says only men are allowed to preach, you know? So, and we support women that, you know, that are in the working world. We also support housewives.
Mm.
Because often what gets happened is that the housewife gets looked down on.
Mm.
And why? Because we have a saying, an old English saying in the English language, is that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Mm.
Because, you know, those who are going to have... influence over the children when they're at their youngest are going to basically you know, determine the future. And that's why the Marxists go after your kids.
Yeah.
And the Muslims go after your kids as well, by the way. And so, you know, at the end of the day, looking at all of this stuff, the whole rhetoric that comes within Marxism is everything's not working, you're poor, and there's that person you must be angry at. Mm-hmm. In fact, Hitler was quite similar too, because he said, "You're poor because of the Jews." Now people are saying it again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everything's about the Jews. Meantime, they're operating Marxist philosophies, and the Marxist philosophies came from the pen of a Jew.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the end of the day, it's the opposite of the gospel, and everything about Marxism is the opposite of the gospel. But I wanted to say there's one thing that that Bonzai Songwe said,
mm-hmm,
that I disagree with.
Yeah.
And that is, he speaks about DA cities, you know, Democratic Alliance cities, looking better than ANC or Marxist-controlled cities. And, you know, on the surface, yes. Yes, there is that measure. But the DA themselves are significantly controlled by Marxist ideas. You know, if you look at their take on the whole LGBT thing, climate change, putting up cameras everywhere to control the movements of the population. The Democrats portray themselves as being, you know, for free movement, free enterprise, free trade and all sorts of stuff, and they're far from it. They're absolutely and utterly far from it. They're not close to it. In fact, the biggest problem in my view in South Africa is that there are no right-wing parties.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So are those your final thoughts on the whole issue with the Marxism?
And yeah, other than the Bible.
And the Bible. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 2, I'll just read from verse 1 to 2. It says, "For everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished."
Now, Marxism is a philosophy that comes along and talks about revolution, talks about the overthrow of the current order. And you know, what I want to say to you is that is the antithesis of the Bible. That is the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches.
Mm.
And obviously you got those two verses there from Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And by the way, the communists in the Soviet Union actually used these verses to their advantage when they told pastors in the old Soviet Union to that the pastors have to listen to the government. They quoted Romans 13 and they said, we want to put a new rule in place that no person under the age of 25 is allowed to be in the church. And the pastors complied. They stood up with tears in their eyes in front of the churches and told their churches, I have to ask anyone that is under the age of 25 to leave the service because we have to obey the government. Now, that is one time when you do not obey the government. You do not obey the government when the government's telling you to go against the word of God. And we see that clearly, you know, in the book of Acts where Peter and John have just healed the lame man at the gate, beautiful. And the leaders tell them to stop preaching. And they say to them, do you expect us to obey you over God? Because mm-hmm. God cannot be overruled by human authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's just the bottom line. But other than that, other than if the government is telling you to do something that directly contradicts what God has told us to do, like worshiping together or things like that, we're not revolutionaries.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even when our rulers are cruel, even when our rulers are oppressive, we are not to do that. And we've got so many examples in our 20th century and 21st century world of countries where they said that ruler is evil, overthrow them, and when you overthrow them, you get something worse in its place.
True.
Because when you use physical power empowered by demons to eradicate evil, you end up with a greater evil in return. And an example of that is what happened in Iraq with Saddam Hussein. You end up with ISIS,
mm-hmm.
who's chopping people's heads off.
Yeah.
Okay, if you look now just what's happened this year in Syria, so Assad, he's supposed to be the most evil ruler in the world. So he gets toppled. And then guess what? In come these jihadis. And now they are far worse.
Yeah.
They are far worse than Assad was. And so if you're going to replace evil with evil, you're going to get a greater evil.
Yeah.
Now, he also says in verse 3 and 4 that I just wanted to mention. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil.
Mm.
Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same.
Mm.
The only time that you can be godly and be punished by your authorities is if you're punished for the name of Jesus.
Mm.
If you're punished for anything else, there's a problem. Okay? It's only the name of Jesus.
Mm.
And Marxism flies in the face of that. In fact, the Marxists and the thing that you know, Bonsai Shongwe says, and I actually fully agree with this. I've always believed this. Marxism is a religion. If you hear people like that are in the ANC or the EFF or parties like that, that's not a political party. It's a religion.
Mm.
All right? And so you've got to take that into account, and that's why they hate the church. Because they've got their own religion. It's the religion of the state. It's a religion that worships the state. And so be very careful who you're voting for. In South Africa, we need a new party. We need someone that is governed by the word of God. We don't have that right now. And so I just want to leave you with that, you know, Bonsai Shongwe. Now, he's a Christian.
Yes.
And he's promoting the Christian view. So almost everything he says I agree with. And except where he praises the DA. Yes. I can't. Now, for me, in many ways, the DA is worse than the ANC.
Yeah, so this has been an amazing show.
Right, that's my personal opinion. I don't know. So, okay, I'm allowed to have my view.
He's allowed to have his view.
So you can put your comments on the show, but I'm allowed my view.
Yes. So this has been an amazing show. As always, right here on The Political Show. On Active FM Radio has never been better. Let us know your thoughts on our social media platforms. Comment right below this video and say, we agree, we disagree. This is my thoughts and whatever. We will be very interested to hear what you have to say. But this has been an amazing show. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio we've had
Gavin Enslin.
Pastor Gavin Enslin, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.